my brother bishops, especially our new members, Bishop Donald Hying of Madison and Bishop Kevin Sweeney of Patterson, dear Bishop William Byrne of Springfield, what a magnificent homily you gave today. Just look at him. Isn't he a hunk? You know what? This is a... Ken and Peter and esteemed leadership of our beloved Knights and Dames of Malta, my brother priests and deacons, new members especially, are we ever happy to have you. Congratulations. Welcome. And more seasoned knights and dames, it is good to be with you this evening. I love you all very much, and I'm very proud to be in your company this evening. Now, I give a lot of these talks. The last, like the most scorned invitation, is to give a after-dinner talk. Those aren't the easiest thing to do, an after-dinner talk. You've certainly heard the story about the early martyrs, right? Have you heard about it? And the one martyr, time after time, is in the Colosseum and to be devoured by the lions, and he escapes every time. The lion runs up to him and runs away, and finally, the Christian said, how do you get away with it? And the Christian said, well, I just say to the lion, you know, if you devour me, if you meet me all up, you're going to have to sit through an after-dinner talk, and the lion runs away, all right? Tonight is special. I needed this. I had the honor of sitting between Ken Craig and Missy Reedy, which was a heck of a lot better than a dinner I was at a couple weeks ago, and I had to sit between Donald Trump and Chuck Schumer. This is refreshing. This is refreshing. Now, I can't help it when I'm with all of you. I can't help but think of Lourdes. I have to admit as well that I can't help it but to think of our recent cruises when I've been with you, our beloved Knights and Dames of Malta. I can't help it when I look out at you this evening with a lot of affection and admiration. I can't help it but think of the Terence Cardinal Cook Center, Calvary Hospice, Mary Manning Walsh, our prisons, Elizabeth Ann Seton Pediatric Center, because I see you all there. I can't help it when I look out at you this evening of thinking of the Ukrainian border of Israel and the Holy Land, where I've been privileged to see Malta in action. I can't help, my brothers and sisters in this esteemed ardor, but think of parishes, our Catholic schools, our Catholic charities, the multiple appeals and galas, because you're all there. You're not only active in Malta, you're extraordinarily generous and active in so many Catholic causes. So just hear this, Bishop, say thank you. We love you, we need you, and we're very grateful to you. Now, get this mouthful. The sovereign, military, hospitaller, ardor of St. John of Jerusalem, of Rhodes, and Malta. Good Lord, the business cards alone break our budget, you know what? But I want to talk to you for a couple minutes this evening about just one word in that noble title. Heck, any of them would be worthy of an extended address. I just want to focus on one word of our title, the noble organization to which we belong, and that word is the first, sovereign. Sovereign. I want to speak about that for a moment. There are two reasons why we have that word sovereign in our title, folks. And here's number one, what we are. A sovereign, and you know what that means, an authentic, independent, internationally and historically recognized diplomatic autonomy and presence in the world. We have and internationally guaranteed sovereignty, all right? We're into diplomacy, and we are a diplomatic entity. And for that, we're most grateful. Now, you know what diplomacy is. It's been defined by some as the ability to tell a man to go to hell with such finesse that he looks forward to the journey. I'm not... That's not the kind of diplomacy I'm talking about tonight. We in Malta, everybody, have diplomatic sovereignty as a means to an end, right? The ability to reach everybody, especially the war-torn, the hungry, the sick, the refugee, the displaced, the voiceless. The flag of Malta gives people hope. I've seen it firsthand. That flag waves with the Red Cross, the UN, the Holy See, Switzerland, as diplomatic sovereignties that are in it to help people. We treasure that sovereignty. We savor that. We're not afraid to use that sovereignty in our sacred mission of service to those suffering. But I submit to you this evening in my little talk that there's a second and perhaps even more significant reason that we claim to be sovereign in Malta. Simply put, because we happen to believe in the first of the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not have strange gods before me. You and I call God Lord because he's revealed himself to us as such. The Latin word for Lord is Dominus. From that comes the English word dominate. For us, the Lord alone dominates. The Lord alone is sovereign. And as those first Christians claimed, often at the price of scorn, persecution, and the spilling of their blood, Jesus Christ is Lord. He is our sovereign. It is his sovereignty in which we are knights and dames of the sovereign order of Malta. We do not lord it over anybody. We let him lord it over us and our sacred causes. If we place absolute confidence in any cause or candidate other than the Lord our God, sooner or later we're going to be let down. Would that we would show him the interest, the passion, the investment, the devotion that we usually render earthly causes and candidates. Loyal, patriotic citizens we indeed are, and yet we profess that our true citizenship is in heaven, and we consider our true sovereign to be the one who stated before a governor named Pontius Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." Can I close with two examples to display the sovereignty that you and I bask in as members of the sovereign order of Malta? You maybe have heard these stories. They're rather famous, but I hope you'd agree they're worth hearing again. The first example of sovereignty, proper sovereignty to the Lord our God, happened in what historians call those 9 days that changed the world. Would you remember them? June 1st to the 10th of 1979, when John Paul II returned to his native Poland. 2/3 of the country turned out to see him and to cheer him. The Soviet troops and the communist government were very nervous. And remember the closing mass on the last day? 2 million people gathered in Warsaw? 2 million people to see John Paul. Now, they figured he'll never be able to come home again because the communists ain't going to let this happen. This is the last chance we got. And you remember what happened? It was a moment that the KGB in its cable afterwards said, "It's over. It's over," because as he began his homily, the crowd began to chant three words. Three words, 2 million people. 2 million people chanting three words. It wasn't commies go home. It wasn't down with Russia. No. Three words. We want God. We want God. We want God. Top of their voices, 2 million people. The soldiers were restless. The government leaders were tuning out, turning off the TV. John Paul is smiling. His nervous master of ceremony, after 2 minutes, came up and said, "Holy Father, perhaps you would like to tell the crowd enough." And he said, "Are you nuts? This is what I came for, all right?" We want God. No less a credible source than Mikhail Gorbachev would have cited that as one of the first reasons for the fall of the communist hegemony. There's an example of sovereignty. We want God. And here's the second, also in Poland. Remember Lech Walesa? Remember he was given the Nobel Peace Prize. And remember the communist government would not let him go claim it. They were so snotty. So he sent Danuta, his wife. And when Danuta came back from receiving the Nobel Peace Prize for her beloved husband, Lech, of course, thousands met her at the airport. And Lech took the Nobel Peace Prize. He didn't put it on. He got in his old jalopy, and a 2-mile motorcade followed him to the shrine of Częstochowa. And there he gave the Nobel Peace Prize to our Blessed Mother. He said, She is the sovereign. She is the Queen of Poland. She deserves this award. He and she, we want God. The Blessed Mother is our sovereign. He and she are indeed our sovereigns, cherished knights and dames of this sovereign order. And that's why we are proud to claim to be sovereign. Thanks for listening. Well,